Welcome to the Overflow Podcast. We pray you are encouraged by this message. For more info, notes, or other messages, download the Overflow Church app or visit our website at overflowdfw.com.
We started this series at the beginning of this year called We Are Overflow. Do we got some overflowers in the room? Come on, we are overflowing. We've been going over our core values as a church. We felt like this is something with all the growth that we've had and all the new things that have been happening. We really felt like that we needed to just drill in to our core values. Who are we? Who are we? Well, we are overflow. Well, what does that mean? And so we've been talking about that. We talked about that in week one. We talked about we value presence, right? Who remembers? Can you go over these with me? Presence every time we gather. Everywhere we go, we value family. We follow Jesus together, right? We value honor. We honor up, down, and come on, good job. And then today, we're talking about the value of power, and our statement on that is that God is moving today. Can you say that? Can you declarate that with me? Right, come on. Power, God is moving today. And so I want to ask you, is God moving today? Now, I don't want you to just respond with your instincts because you've been in church, but is God moving today? And I want to ask you this, is God moving in your life? Is God moving in your home, in your family? Is God moving at your job? Is God moving in your life? I want to tell you, He is, and He wants you to be in on it. God is always moving. He's always moving, and He wants humans to be in on it. He wants you to be in on it. And so that's what we're talking about today. Years ago, in the late 1900s, I was working for a security office up in North Dallas. Not a security office. I was working for a security company for a particular building. And there was a guy, my shift went to about 11 o'clock at night, and there was an older gentleman that would come in, and he would take over my shift. And so I'd give him the keys, and we'd do all the stuff that rent-a-cops do. And so I was passing along my information to him, and I just started trying to share the gospel with the guys. Like, well, we've been doing this for a little while. This is what we do as believers. We advance the gospel. So I start asking him some questions, and he goes, well, I believe in God. I just don't think He's alive anymore. And he had convinced himself, and Nietzsche had kind of came up with this, maybe didn't come up with the idea, but was the main famous person that started talking about that God was actually dead. That yes, there's a God. He created all this, but we're not seeing Him do anything anymore. So it's safe to quote unquote assume that He's dead. And the only way that this guy could say that is that he doesn't see any evidence of God currently. There's obviously evidence in the world. There's all this causation. We can get into that. Romans 1 deals with this. It's obvious that God exists, but he had convinced himself since God is no longer moving that God had died. And I said, really? How did you come to that conclusion? Great question to ask. And he goes, well, I don't know how anyone could live that long. And that's rational if you're thinking about humans. I mean, it's like, good point, you know, but God is not a human. And the reason why that someone could think that, or one of the main reasons why people don't believe that God is alive or God is even real, is because they just don't see Him moving. Better yet, maybe they don't recognize that He is moving. And has God stopped moving? God is not, listen, God didn't go to the council and say, hey, listen, the scriptures are written, I'm done. I'm just going to kind of let you guys do what you want to do. The Bible has been written. I've said everything that I need for humans to know. Therefore, I'm checking out. I'm no longer going to move. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He's the same today, and He's the same forever. Jesus has not changed. Your situation may change. Your ideas may change. Your heart may change. Your marriage may change. Your lifestyle may change. Lots of things may change. The world will change and has changed. 20 years ago in 2020, we learned that the hard way, right? Doesn't it feel like it's been so long ago? But the world has changed. But guess what hasn't changed? Jesus hasn't changed. And his word hasn't changed. See, when you're perfect, you don't need to change. That's why you have problems with people that are egomaniacs and they're like, well, I don't need a change. Well, yeah, because you think you're perfect. You think you have arrived. But listen, Jesus is perfect. And when you're perfect, you don't need to change. But you know someone is alive because they are moving. So if God is moving, how is he moving? Well, the same way he was moving in the scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless. Get this. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And it says this, and a lot of people don't pay attention to this part. It says, in the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So when we look at the book of Genesis, most of the time we only think the Father is in on creation. But here we see the Spirit is in on creation, hovering over the waters. You know what he's doing? He's bringing order. Can I tell you, beloved, the Spirit of God is still hovering over the formless, the empty, the darkness. And he's bringing order to chaos, filling the empty, and bringing light to the darkness. Let me say that again so it can sit with you. The Spirit of God is still hovering over the formless, the empty, and the darkness. He is bringing order to chaos, filling the empty, and bringing light to the darkness. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And we at Overflow, in case you don't know that from the worship today, we are a Spirit-filled church. In other words, we believe that the Holy Spirit is currently moving. Meaning that we have not just received Jesus and asked Jesus, little old Jesus, to come into my little old heart, right? No, we believe that we are people that are filled with and led by, might I say, possessed by God's Spirit. This is what we believe, that we are Spirit-filled. That's why when you come in and it's a little rowdy and some of you are like, whoa, what did I walk into? You walked into church. And you walked into the room where there are a lot of people that are filled with the Spirit of God, and it just, something happens when we get together. Right? It's like, it's a flame all the time, but when those flames get together, it's brighter. So this is what we know about Overflow. Now, not us as a church, but just the idea of Overflow. We know this, you know Overflow, not by what is coming in, but by what is pouring out. And the Spirit of God is what's pouring out. So this cup that we have here, we're just pouring into the cup. Ooh, some of y'all today, that's you during worship. You're just getting full. And I could come around here and I could ask, and some of y'all will still say this, you're so negative, you would say that glass is still partially empty. And you look at that glass, and I would say that's a pretty full glass of water. If I went to the cafe and I said, give me a full glass of water, this is what, if you go to Starbucks, they will not give you a full cup of coffee. That's okay. You don't need to drink that garbage anyway. You can get better coffee here. So you would say that's pretty full from my estimation. And most people are content to live with full. But that's not what Jesus designed you for. When Jesus created a capacity in you, he created you to overflow. But the only way you can overflow, and that's how you know, right? What's the definition of overflow? That it's pouring out. And this is the relationship that God wants to have with you. He wants to flow out of your life and get on everything around you. So if he's not, and really now the glass is full, but it's not completely full, and it's definitely not overflowing. until it just keeps on coming in. And this is the problem, is many people just had enough and been content with being full. But God wants more for you. He wants more for your life. He wants more for the world around you. And so to be that overflowing people, you've got to be just like this water would represent the Spirit of God. God wants His Spirit to fill you, overflowing onto everything in your life. It's not just coming and, oh, I feel so satisfied. Listen, the kingdom is so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than you. It's not about you and your story and all that. Listen, it is about God pouring in and through your life and getting on everything around you. That's what it means to be overflow. So we are not just a full people. We are an overflowing people. This is who we are. Years ago, we were youth pastoring. This has been like, gosh, this has probably been like 23 years ago. We had this kid that, you know, in the youth group. And if you were raised in youth group, you always know that there were kind of those kids that are just that kid, right? And so he was that kid. He was kind of odd. And, you know, and we loved him and we took care of him, but he was kind of different. And they ended up leaving our church. And we saw him at a Friday night football game. Come on, Texas. And we were at a ball game on a Friday night, and we saw him. And Chris Estrada, some of y'all know Chris. Chris Estrada and I, we were there, and we saw him. We're like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? He's like, oh, man, we're really good. I'm really good. And we said, how are you doing? Like, we know you guys left the church and all that. He said, we're going to a new church. It's a word church. That's what he said. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's a word church. We focus on the word. And then Chris is like, well, what about the worship? Like, how's the word? You know, he was used to the gooey worship, right? Like what we had today. And he was like, oh man, it's a word church. And so for some reason, for a lot of people, they think there's two camps, right? There's word churches and then there's spirit churches, or there's worship churches. And we at Overflow, we believe in spirit and truth. That's why, even though we can have a gooey word, I mean, we could have just stayed there, let you go home early or really late, right? During this moment, but we value the word of God. But you say, well, what is Overflow? Is Overflow a word church or is it a spirit church? Yes, spirit and truth. We believe both. This is how Jesus called us. And so that's why we're very intentional about bringing the word every week. Now, this is the deal. Because a lot of people are like, I don't need that Holy Ghost stuff. I just need the Bible. Well, the Trinity, for real. Now, people don't say that. But a lot of times that's what they say. We got the Bible, so we don't need the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of like the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. It's true. And you can tell by the way that they live. There's no spirit. Jesus is historic. The Father is the creator, but no activity in their life. So the Bible, listen, don't get it wrong. The Bible is our ultimate authority, but the author is not stagnant. He's moving. And get this, he will not contradict your word. Listen, if you come up to us and you're like, well, God, I felt like the Lord's saying, and it doesn't line up with the scripture, the Lord doesn't change his mind. So if it doesn't line up with the scriptures, what you're saying, like all these like Instagram posts, God says, yada, yada. And I'm like, that seems to contradict the word. God didn't say that. I believe the word. So we got to measure it by something. And the word is how we measure that. It's the authority. And some have read the word, but they haven't experienced the word. And that's the problem. So who is the Holy Spirit? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, who is he? Well, let's just take that word, Holy Spirit. First of all, the word holy, hagios, is the Greek word for that. And that means different, set apart, or sacred, other than. Other words, he is not like any other spirit. Are you tracking? You go to the mall, you go to school, you go to your job. There's lots of spirits. But guess what? Spirit is also there because you're there. The Holy Spirit. It's different. It sets you apart. It causes you to live different. He causes you to function different. The second is he is spirit. He is holy, totally set apart, but he's also spirit. And the Hebrew, the language right there from Genesis, is the word wind. It's ruach. Ooh, love it. Yeah, we like to say words like that because it makes us feel something. Wind, a breath, a violent exhalation.
What am I saying?
Exhalation. Yes, I'm saying the right word. I'm like, what am I saying? Doing that all the time. The Greek word is pneuma. That means the current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. Now, you can feel a breeze, right? You can't really see the wind, but you can feel the wind. You can experience the wind. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, listen, this is not his name. Holy Spirit is not his name. His name is God. Are you tracking? And I understand we got to be careful. We'll get into that. And that's the first point. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. Some treat the Holy Spirit as less than God. Right? We got Jesus. We got the Father. And oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. But we keep him in a closet because we don't want anybody to be freaked out. Or we keep them in the home group so it doesn't show up in our services. This is true. This is what a lot of people do. Some people treat the Holy Spirit not like God, but like Cousin Eddie. You guys remember Cousin Eddie? Some of y'all know. Some of y'all are like, who's that? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know how old I am. And so Cousin Eddie's this crazy uncle that shows up for holidays, right? And you kind of hope he doesn't show up. Because if he shows up, somebody might not like it. Or it might make someone uncomfortable. And so what most people have done is they've eliminated any of the Holy Spirit's activity in their life or in their church or in their family because they don't want him to freak anybody out. Because he will freak you out. He is holy. He's uncommon. And he doesn't always bring peace. Sometimes he brings violence. Not physical violence, but a violent wind. This is what they experience in Acts 2. And so he's God. When we talk about he's God, we're talking about the Trinity, right? We believe in the Trinity. Let's hit on this real quick. I love teaching on doctrine. It's really fun. The Trinity is not like, oh, that's kind of nice. It's like core doctrine because this is Jesus is fully God, fully man, fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. So to ignore the Holy Spirit is to ignore God. To limit the Holy Spirit, you limit God. To restrain the Holy Spirit is to restrain God. To quench the Holy Spirit, which Scripture tells us not to do, is to quench God. So modalism is this idea that God is one person with three expressions, right? One person, one human, he has three expressions. So like what Jesus is God as a man, Jesus as the creator is the Father, and Jesus inside of you is the Holy Spirit. That's not right. God inside of you is the Holy Spirit. Come on. And so we come up with all these weird languages. Like we'll say, well, he's kind of like water. He can be frozen and he can be vapor and all these things. And all those things fall short. Get this. Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not the Holy Spirit, but the Father is God. Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. And then we have God the Father. So we believe that God is one God, three persons. Not three expressions. Are you tracking? Three different persons. One what? God. Two whose? It's kind of like marriage. Marriage is one what? Two whose? Does that help you? And so when we say God is a person, sometimes we say that what we're meaning is God is a human. And God is not a human. He is a person. He has a personality. And he's actually three personalities. Are you tracking? But one unison. So sometimes you're like, oh, that looks just like Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, Jesus showed us what it's like to live filled with the Holy Spirit. So one what, three who's. So, okay, y'all okay? Some of y'all are like, what's happening? Go home, read your Bible, and let's talk about it. All right, the second thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. Right? I felt it. No, you felt him. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit, number three, lives in those who are his. So in the Old Testament, what would happen? Right? We love Old Testament stories. Moses or David, whoever, however powerful they were, what we see is the Spirit, and it says this in the scriptures, came upon them. And then the Spirit would go up off them. Right? This is what happened throughout the Old Testament. And so under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit rested temporarily on God's people. Under the New Covenant, he resides permanently on his people. Once the Holy Spirit is in your life, he takes up permanent residence. He takes the for sale sign down. He moves in his furniture. He lives inside of you. This is what he does. And some of you, you've treated the Holy Spirit like a renter. But not like a renter of a house, but kind of like a renter of like a hotel. Like you check in and he's there, and then you check out and he's there. That's Old Testament, Old Covenant living. New Covenant living is the Holy Spirit is here, presence, every time we gather, everywhere we go. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So he moves, and how does he move? That's the question. How's God moving today? He moves through those who are his. We are the vehicle in which God moves. You rarely do you see God move sovereignly outside of him using people. Rarely. It happens rarely. Most of the time when God moves, it's because one of his agents on the earth, you and I, will go and allow his Spirit to flow through us. So sick people, when they get healed, it's because someone did what the Bible said and prayed for them. And I want to ask you, how many people have you prayed for? I got convicted just a little while ago. I had a guy come and ask me for Tylenol or a headache medicine. And I went and got it. I should have prayed first. Right? And so we don't have a problem with ibuprofen, but I have some. But the problem is when our default is always just do whatever the natural allows. So how does God move today? He moves through those that are his. The same way that he did through Jesus. Look at this, Acts 10:38. You know that God, referring to the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So we see the Trinity right there, right? The Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing how many? All who were oppressed by the devil. Listen, if there was one verse I would tell you to memorize right now at this point in your life, right here, Acts 10:38. Because you have the same assignment that Jesus had, other than the saving of the world thing. He's got that covered once and for all. But as far as his functionality on the earth, he's the pattern, Acts 10:38, your verse. So Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who is the God that was with him? The Holy Spirit. Are you tracking? So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and he went around doing good, just like you're going to go around and doing good, and healing people, and seeing people set free. Why? Because the Spirit of God is with you. He's inside of you. So let's talk about three ways. Y'all okay? We're teaching today. You all right? We like teaching? I like teaching. I like preaching, but through teaching. However, it's all the thing. Number one, the way that God moves is through the anointing. Now, charismatics, we're a charismatic church. I'm a charismatic guy. We love the word the anointing. Oh, the anointing. Oh, their anointing so strong, right? Because we like words that kind of sound mystical, right? Oh, brother, I feel the anointing. Got to get up front with the anointing. And so we get really weird about these terms. And some of y'all are like, oh gosh, here we go. Another message on the anointing, right? Because you're a millennial and you were kind of raised in that. And you're just like, you saw so many people be weird when they talk about the anointing. Now all of a sudden you're anointed. Listen, anointing speaks of this assignment. So this is what would happen. A king gets anointed to be king. So they go out and they would smear, and the word means to smear. But to smear for the purpose of setting one apart for a purpose. So that they would take this oil and they would wipe. They would do this in the tabernacle or in the temple. They would go and they wipe all the stuff with anointing oil. Why? They're saying, this is sacred for the Lord. Let it be used for nothing else. And so when the Lord anointed you, He said, I'm going to pour my oil on you and you will do nothing else except for my purposes. So now when you show up to work, you're doing it for me, not for the paycheck. When you show up to raise your kids and I know how hard it is, I'm going to give you the oil to do it. I'm setting you apart to be different, to be unique with the Holy Spirit. To do it in ways, this is why you do it differently. This is why you do it with excellence. This is why you see things that nobody else sees, because you've been smeared with the Holy Spirit to fulfill your assignment. And when you have that oil, you have the authority because God decided. It wasn't your idea to preach the gospel. It was His, and He's anointed you to do it. He's anointed you to heal the sick. Pastor, come pray for me. And it's like we got a room of like 160 people. And they're like, Pastor, pray for me. There's like 159 other people in the room that could also pray for you. They have the same anointing. I'm no more anointed than anyone else. 1 John is a great place to study the anointing. So Jesus, when we talk about Christ, Christ means the anointed one. You know what Christians mean? Christians means little anointed ones. So you're a little anointed one. You little anointed one. Not annoying one. I know you're thinking about your kids right now, little annoying one. No, we're little anointed one. Come on. So 1 John says this, chapter 2, verse 27 says, as for you, the anointing you received from Him. It's His anointing. Can I tell you, you have the same anointing that Jesus had. And it says this remains in you. The anointing doesn't change. The anointing remains. It lives in you. The anointing is not, listen, and this is kind of how we define it sometimes as in Charismania. The anointing is not a fleeting feeling. And it's not spooky and it's not mystical. The anointing doesn't lift. I've been around people. I feel like the anointing for worship has lifted. And now we're going to move into the message. Who lifted it? So the anointing, brother, has lifted. The anointing doesn't lift. It remains right here, 1 John. Now, God might be saying, hey, all right, let's put a period right here and let's do a new thing. He's all about that. But the anointing didn't leave. It just looks a little different. Come on. And so don't use really ignorant words. I don't mean ignorant like stupid. I just mean ignorant like you don't know. I'm trying to help you. Some of y'all are like, he said I was ignorant. I mean, I could have used the word that came from, but I didn't. Help me, Lord. All right. Listen, the purpose of the anointing is not to enhance our experience, but to maximize our effectiveness. And some people are like, oh, I feel the anointing. And I'm like, oh, quivering and I'm jacked up and I feel elated. And we're like, that's the anointing. No, the anointing was always there. Maybe it's expressing itself that way and that's awesome and we love that, but it don't lift. It don't lift. The mode might change, the mood might change, but it don't lift. The second way that God moves on you, so you're assigned, you have an assignment through the anointing. He's put it on you. He's like, you're anointed. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're in a pulpit or you're working at McDonald's flipping hamburgers. I hope you're not having to do that, at least not for very long. It's a great place to start. Hopefully that's not the end for you. I don't think it is. But whatever you do it differently. Why? Because you've been smeared with the oil of heaven. The Holy Spirit has said, I'm on you to do things in a different way, a holy way, a set apart way, a unique way, a sacred way. So you don't talk like they talk. You don't act like they act. You're different because He smeared you. All right. It's great. I'm smeared by the Lord. Yeah. And it's not coming off. Like you can, it's not going to come off. All right. Number two, authority. Everybody say authority. Now, the word authority in the Greek, sometimes it says power, and that word is exousia, right? We talk about these words often. Exousia. Everybody say exousia. Hey, you speak Greek. All right. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave them the right Some translations say power. To become children of God. That word right there, right, could also be authority. He gives you the authority. He gives you the exousia to become children of God. We're not all children of God, right? We got to be born into it, reborn into it. And so that when that happens, you now have the paperwork. You have the legal document saying that you're a child of God. Why are you a child of God? Because you behaved? No. Because you believed and you received Jesus. And once you do that, you become a child of God, and now you have divine authority. Woo! Some of y'all act like you don't got any authority. Oh, it just keeps happening, and I'm not in charge of my joy. I'm not in charge of my peace. All these things just keep robbing me from all the things that God's brought. Walk in your authority. Walk in your exousia. So the Holy Spirit, listen, is our badge. What right do you have to do that? Well, my credentials are that I am representing the kingdom of God because of the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians talks about this several times through the New Testament. We see this, that the authors use the word as like the Holy Spirit is a seal on our lives. And so the Lord stamps you like you would take a wax seal, and he stamps you. And the Holy Spirit is that stamp. They're mine. And because you have, it's like you have a letter and then it's been stamped by the king's ring, and you're going around and you're doing God's business. It's called delegated authority, right? So how many of y'all like were raised in the 80s? All four of you. We had a show called The Dukes of Hazzard. Y'all ever heard of that? It's this orange car. Yeah. And so the guys that were actually the good guys, the Duke boys, were actually the bad guys. They were always breaking the, just a good old boy. All right. And so they would drive around there and do their thing. And the protagonist of the story was this guy named Roscoe Pico Train. And so the Duke boys knew if they could drive out of their county and get into the next county, that Roscoe had no authority in that county, because his authority was delegated for that county. And so when they were in trouble, they just headed for the county line to get out of the county. Pretty good strategy, I guess. But listen, just like Roscoe had that authority, it only goes so far. But listen, you have a delegated authority. You have a delegated authority to heal the sick, to set free the captives. Come on, to encourage those that are discouraged, to see the broken made whole. That anointing and that authority is on your life to see those things happen. And so you walk in it and you live in it, and then you see it pour out, right? Because God's moving today. All right. So and listen, your authority is because you're his. It's not because you read a book or you were trained for ministry. All those things are great. You should do those things. But that's not where your authority comes from. Your authority comes because you're his. And when you start believing that, you'll see some of that authority show up. And that's not to get better parking spots, by the way. We're so weird. I'm so favored. Yeah, you're favored to like advance the gospel. Come on. And sometimes the Lord will be Jehovah sneaking and give you a good parking spot if you need it. All right, number three is ability. Everybody say ability. And so we have anointing, we have authority, and we have ability. So Acts chapter 1. Once when he was eating with them, come on, love it. Jesus loves to go to group. All right, Jesus is that group. He's eating with them. And he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we can also call him the gift of the Father. Whew. Come on, you got salvation. Awesome. You got more than that. And so he says, wait, for the gift, you're going to get more. There's more to this. There's more to this. Close your eyes, bow your head, ask Jesus into your heart. There's more than that. And so it says this, the Father sends you the gift he has promised, as I have told you before. And he says this, where are we at on the verse? I'm reading it there, not here. So John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is going to happen. Like you're full, but what's about to happen is you're about to overflow. And you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, it says, you will receive power. That word power is not exousia. That word power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. And he says, you'll be my witnesses. You'll go, you'll advance the gospel, you'll turn the world upside down. And that's what they did in the book of Acts. So the word dunamis means the ability to perform. Now, people want dunamis for like, I want to build a shed by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, awesome. Okay, cool. I can get on board with that. But listen, primarily, the power is for you to advance the gospel. Are you tracking? Do you understand that he didn't come to just give you good fuzzy feelings at the service? He came to make a deposit into your life, to give you courage, to heal you up so you can go out and you can be used by God. Beloved, it is, as soon as you will be so much healthier if you realize it's not about you. That it's about Jesus and it's about advancing his kingdom. Life becomes so much easier because you're not self-consumed. So, and it says it's power to achieve by applying the Lord's inerrant abilities. So you've inherited the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to lay hands on sick people and them get whole, the power to preach the gospel and people respond to it, the power to play a guitar and the Holy Ghost falls on people that don't know him and transforms their lives. And it all happened. He fell through you, by the way. So the power that Jesus had was the same power the church had in Acts through the Holy Spirit. Understand, the power is still active. God is moving today. And so we value power. God is moving today. So John chapter 14, Jesus is sharing. This is the upper room discourse. We've gone over this recently. And Jesus makes a statement. He says, and you can put it up there. I'm not going to read all of it. He says, I'm going to go to the Father and you're going to do more than what I did. The word there is greater. Now, greater doesn't mean that you're going to do more significant. You're going to be more powerful. It's greater in number because there's more of us, right? The 12 disciples saw the world totally transformed. 12. I mean, think what God can do with, you know, what, 150 or whatever we have in the room today. Wow. What can we do? And we're just going, I just want to get back to the book of Acts. We just need to get back to the book of Acts. Go get back to the book of Acts. Quit talking about it and just walk in it. This is what we're called to. And so he says, you can at verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. The Son can bring glory to the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. So Jesus in the name, he's talking about his authority. We carry the authority of Jesus, again, that has been pressed on by the Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And here it is. And who will never leave you. Whew. Come on, he's not coming down, going out. No, he's like, he's not going to leave. He's not changing his mind. He didn't change his mind about dwelling in you. You say, well, I quit serving the Lord. His assignment didn't change. The callings of God are irrevocable. Whew. He is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. So Jesus says, he is the Holy Spirit. He's going to come. He's going to be your comforter, all this kind of stuff. And we focus so much. Most of what we think of in the Holy Spirit is we think that he's kind of like a doctor or a shrink to us. This is where we get. We're like, oh, the Holy Spirit, he's the counselor. He's the paraclete. He's the one. Listen, he's not just here to do maintenance on your life. Beloved, get this today. He's not here just to give you a good experience. He's here to empower you to do what he wants to do on the earth. This is how God moves. So the quicker that you get on board with that, you're going to find that a lot of the things that you're stressed out about and seeking peace about and believing the Holy Spirit to give me peace, all that stuff's just going to function because he's functioning through you. Get on assignment. Get on mission. So God is moving today by his Spirit. How? Through his people. So instead of asking for a move of God, which we will, be a move of God. Because God is moving. God is moving today. I want to tell you, the rumors are true. God's moving. And some of you need to experience the moving of the Lord. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, because I'm from West Texas, and that's still on me sometimes, Bible. Mark chapter 10, the end of the chapter, there's this guy, and his name is Bartimaeus. It's a fun Jewish name, Bartimaeus. And he's blind. And blind people, just like we talked about Mephibosheth last week, just like crippled people, blind people, they didn't have any occupations. They didn't have any ways to help them see. So they were forced usually to a life of begging for other people to do things for them or the income that others might share and have pity on them about. And so he is outside the city called Jericho, and he's sitting out there. And he's heard the rumors. He's heard the rumors about Jesus. And he hears another rumor that not only Jesus has this history of healing people that were blind, he hears the rumor that he's coming to town. So he is just doing his thing, sitting outside by the city gate where people are coming in to do their business, coming in and out. And he's there, and he's sitting, and he hears a commotion in the distance. And he starts hearing people say, "He's here. The Messiah is coming to town." And you hear the crowds getting a little closer, and it's getting a little louder. "He's coming, Jesus. Jesus is coming. He's coming to town. He's coming to town." And he starts yelling out so inappropriately, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus. "Shh. You're not supposed to act like that. You're undignified. It's Jesus, the Messiah. You should be a little bit more respectful." "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus is walking. I don't know how he got so loud, but somehow Jesus, and I don't think it was his voice, but I think Jesus heard the hunger in his heart. And Jesus hears among all the other voices, he hears this guy that's been blind, and he's hearing, "Son, have mercy." And Jesus starts going, "Well, I love to show mercy. Who's calling out for mercy?" "Bartimaeus, quiet. Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me." Jesus says, "Get that guy, the guy that's talking, get him over here, team." So they bring him over. Lead him over. "What do you want me to do for you?" He didn't go, "Well, what do you think, Lord?" "What do you want me to do for you?" And Jesus heard the desperation. Jesus heard for this man the same thing that he had preached on the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those who want it, for they'll be filled. In fact, they'll be overflowing." And today, I believe the Lord is asking you, because we believe in power here. And I know we've had a lot of ministry moments, but we believe in power here. And I think the Lord is asking you today, some of you that need a miracle today. We're not just here to preach about it. We're here to practice it. And you would say, "Today, I want to be healed. Today, I want to be whole. Today, I want to be forgiven."